had no relationships to disclose. So Pioneering Healthier Communities was started approximately 7 years ago, and there's over 200 communities that have gone through the YMCA of the USA's program. So we have a lot to draw upon, and this time around in 2010, we just instituted the health equity pilot. So 6 communities have been funded to do Pioneering Healthier Communities with specific emphasis on health equity. We also have convened a health equity advisory panel where we brought in 20 experts from across the nation to inform the YMCA how to do health equity right. So I'll be reporting on some of that information. The YMCA is a natural fit for this work. I know it's probably not the natural go-to for many public health efforts, but we do have 2,700 branches across the country and 10,000 communities, and really have established trust and credibility within the neighborhoods where the YMCA resides. And in doing so, with funding from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Pioneering Healthier Communities has made over 14,000 changes impacting a potential of 34 million lives. Who here has seen Unnatural Causes? Yes, I assume so. So I'm going to walk through a few of the tools that we give to our communities and that we use to build the capacity for teams to do the work. And so this is where one of these slides comes from and talks about the traditional approaches to public health. And we know that the traditional ways aren't necessarily working. Our gaps in health equity and health inequities, they're growing substantially in low-income communities and communities of color. And we know that the all-boats approach doesn't work anymore. We can't just have a blanket policy that's going to reduce that gap. So we really need to make sure that it's community-based and the opportunities are given for communities to be able to succeed. So here's the other angle, the equity tips for staying healthy. And as you can see, that it is a little different of approach. And you know, we can tell people to not smoke, but we could also tell people don't be poor if you can stop. If you can't, try not to be poor for too long. So we know that where people live, where people work, how much money we earn, what color our skin is matters in this country. And so we really need to make sure that as we approach health equity that we're doing it right. Another tool we use is the Prevention Institute's Health Equity Prevention Primer. Who's seen this? Oh, okay, well, go to preventioninstitute.org for this one. So Prevention Institute has made 6 modules that walk you through what is health equity, what is prevention. And so for the why, again, it's not the natural inclination to have the public health knowledge and public health language. So this really helps get everybody on board, and we convene community level leadership. So this really helps establish that common framework. And so you'll see it's a spectrum of prevention, everything from programs to policies. And we are looking for policies through Pioneering Healthier Communities, but we know that programs must support those policies. So we know it has to be a full cycle. And you'll see that in the community transformation grants that were just released, that's very similar, where programs and policies are incorporated to make changes. It's very important that we establish a common language within each community. And each community owns their own inequity. So we encourage all to define equity, what that would look like with their community, and to also note what their story is. So here in DC, which is where I live, you could take the subway from Southeast DC, which is an impoverished African American community, to Montgomery County, Maryland. And as you're riding along the subway, your life expectancy is increasing 1.5 years for every mile you travel. There's a 20-year life expectancy gap in here in DC. So we encourage our communities to find that data and find that story and tell people what the inequity or injustice is and rally people around that cause. So our 4 pillars are empathy, data, community leadership, and policy, so all of our training components revolve around these elements. And we really practice experiential learning sessions because, as Maya Angelou has said, no one remembers what we say or do, but we remember how we felt. So we start with empathy. And we know that you can't walk a mile in someone else's shoes, but you can begin to relate to people and connect with people as your neighbors, as your friends, and as human beings. So we try to eliminate us versus them mentality and really talk about removing our hats, busting down those silos, and doing this for the common good. So when we come in, we're doing this for the greater community as a whole, as opposed to my agency or my particular block. The big picture deck is a tool we also use. We created that with the YMCA, and it has all sorts of beautifully photographed pictures that really display what health could look like in your community. And it begins to engage people in dialogue around what it is that I personally want for my community and what we can do together. Data is the next element. So we use geographic integrated systems, and we map out every community and create that visual display. So for our data geeks, that's definitely a perfect form for displaying that information. We use Photo Voice, and we also use the Community Healthy Living Index, which is a tool that the YMCA created to create a profile on what communities have in terms of policy and what they need. And that is publicly available as well. We make sure all of our data is wrapped in a story so that you could tie it to an individual person. And we make sure that it's inclusive, so that data is representative of the community. And one question was asked during the last session in terms of how do you prioritize where to go in terms of what policy do you focus on, what neighborhood, et cetera, et cetera. So we really concentrate on the data piece. So before any plans are in place, the community has to come up with 3 months of data gathering. And during that time, they figure out what they can influence, what the opportunities are, whether there's grants, other interested works, or maybe a master plan or rezoning, and then start with the small piece, as we say, and move up to the bigger impact. Our focus is on community leadership. So the community leadership team is created with the Y being the convener. So they create a shared, authentic, short, and long-term vision. And it includes members who are power brokers, youth-based collaboratives, faith institutions, local business owners, elected officials, public health institutes, academics, and people who have committed to the cause through their work or their life. And finally, we look for policy and environmental change to change the social construct where people reside. And so I know we talked about this before on our panel, but McDonald's has just started putting apples in their kids' meals. And this is a default choice where it's automatically apples and you have to opt out to get something else. So that's what we're talking about, where you're changing the entire cultural dynamics. You actually have to opt in or to get the unhealthy option. And so each of our communities are looking to change two policies, and 80% of the teams have met this criteria over the last 7 years. And we provide national support, so they have a peer learning team. We have coaches meetings. We provide technical assistance, facilitating those tough conversations on race, on place, on class. We talk about succession planning, teaming, and evaluation. And this is a 3-year grant, but it's really ongoing. The teams have continued well beyond the 3 years, and we know that healing and reconciliation has to happen along every single step. So I got my 1-minute warning, so I'm just going to leave you with two examples. So in Birmingham, Alabama, they have developed a multifaceted approach. So child care centers establishing physical activity requirements. There's mobile pantries. Complete Streets, public market pilots, and then a Greenway Master Plan, which is going to connect two major Greenway thoroughfares and be the largest Greenway in the entire country. They've learned quite a lot from this initiative and learned that the community must be involved in every step of the way, and that people who are going to be impacted by these policies need to be bought into every part of the plan. And lastly is Longmont, Colorado, and they have established Hispanic Latino farmers markets and created cooking classes from Kaiser to have demonstrations on how to use the foods at the farmers market. And as a result, over 100 children and major institutions participate in the upkeep of a local garden that gives the food to the farmers market. A few other things that the WISE are working on are also the corner store initiatives, grocery store and supermarkets, bike share programs, safe routes to school, and zoning initiatives. And I'd just like to acknowledge Kara Cheney, who is the co-author of this, Tracy Wheat, the Healthier Communities teams, YMCA of the USA, all the teams on the YMCA of the USA team, and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.